Welcome to episode 3 of our series, Muscle Recovery and Tissue Repair. I'm your host, Luna Carter, and joining me once again is Dr. Samuel Clark, a molecular biologist at the forefront of peptide science and regenerative research. In this deep dive, we're exploring a critical question researchers are asking around the world: how peptides are being stacked for optimal recovery, and what the latest studies reveal about their synergistic effects. From tissue repair to inflammation control and accelerated healing, we'll unpack which compounds are being combined in controlled studies, why certain pairings stand out, and how reputable sources like PureRAS and BC9 are supporting ongoing research in this field. So if you're ready to see what the science says about recovery stacks and how they're reshaping the landscape of muscle repair research, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Okay, let's unpack this. When we talk about advanced muscle recovery, why are researchers so focused on peptides, and what exactly are peptide stacks?
Right. Well, what's fascinating here is that peptides are essentially the body's own signaling molecules. Think of them as tiny, highly specialized fragments of protein, basically small chains of amino acids that can mimic or influence natural biological processes.
Yeah.
Really precise.
Like little keys for specific locks.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. They fit very particular locks within our cellular machinery. And researchers are deeply interested in their potential. We're talking accelerating tissue repair, reducing inflammation quite significantly, and supporting faster recovery from, you know, various kinds of stress or injury models, all in controlled lab settings, of course.
And the stacking part, how does that work?
So stacking isn't just using one peptide. It's more like orchestrating a biological response. Mm. Each peptide has a unique job, a targeted role. But when you combine them precisely, they don't just add up their effects. They can actually multiply their impact.
Ah, synergy.
Precisely. Creating a healing response in these experimental systems that's potentially far more potent, more comprehensive than any single compound could manage on its own. It's about unlocking potentially exponential recovery by carefully combining these multiple peptides and, crucially, maintaining incredibly precise dosing protocols.
Right. Precision seems key.
Absolutely. And it's vital to stress again, these stacks are purely for research purposes. They are never intended for human use. They're tools. Powerful tools, certainly, that give us this unique window into how specific cellular pathways drive muscle and tissue repair at the molecular level.
Orchestrating a biological symphony, I like that. It really highlights the design involved. So beyond just repair, what specific mechanisms are researchers actually seeing these peptides target? What are they doing?
That's a critical point. They aren't just general repair agents. These signaling molecules focus on several vital processes. In recovery research, we see them targeting primarily four key areas. First, there's angiogenesis.
Okay, new blood vessel formation.
Exactly. Absolutely critical. Healing tissue needs a robust supply of oxygen and nutrients, you know. New vessels are the delivery system. Then there's collagen synthesis. This is paramount for repairing connective tissues, things like tendons, ligaments, the matrix that gives muscle structure. Peptides can sort of act like foremen on a construction site, boosting production of this essential scaffolding.
Makes sense. What else?
Third, they engage anti-inflammatory pathways. They help quiet down the cellular alarm bells, the inflammation that can actually hinder efficient repair if it goes on too long. Reducing that cellular stress creates a better environment for healing. And fourth, maybe one of the most exciting areas is their influence on stem cell recruitment and proliferation.
So calling in the body's repair specialists.
Effectively, yes. Encouraging the body's natural regeneration experts to get to the injury site and multiply, laying down new healthy tissue. And this is where that synergistic effect really comes into focus. Imagine one peptide boosting blood vessel growth,
yeah,
while another speeds up collagen formation, and maybe a third recruits those stem cells. The combined impact in lab models is often way greater than any single one could achieve. It's like a coordinated effort for healing.
A genuine 1-2-3 punch, as you said. Okay, this precision is fascinating. So knowing they act on these different fronts, let's talk specifics. What are some of the all-stars here, the peptides that keep popping up in these recovery studies? What makes them stand out?
That's a great question, because each one does bring something unique to the table in a research setting. When combined strategically, they let researchers explore that full spectrum of healing. Let's start with BPC-157. You hear it mentioned a lot. Sometimes called the body protection compound.
Right. I've seen that one referenced quite a bit.
It's incredibly widely studied, almost legendary in research circles for its broad potential muscle, tendon, ligament repair. Some researchers call it the Swiss Army knife of recovery peptides. It seems to kick off this comprehensive first response. It's studied for promoting angiogenesis, enhancing fibroblast migration, Those are the collagen-making cells. So boosting collagen production and reducing inflammation right at the site. Studies even look at its role in tendon-to-bone healing in experimental models.
So it's like the foundation.
Often, yes. It frequently forms that foundational layer in stacking protocols because it seems to prepare the whole cellular environment for robust repair. Sets the stage, you could say.
Okay, so if BPC-157 lays that versatile foundation, what's next? What complements that initial groundwork to ensure, you know, structural integrity and maybe even movement?
Good thinking, complementary roles are key. Building on that foundation, another really crucial player often studied is TB500. That's a fragment of thymosin beta 4. This one is studied for its role in regulating actin. Actin is a fundamental protein for cell structure, cell movement. Basically, it helps mobilize the cellular troops.
Mobilize, okay.
Yeah, experimental data suggests TB500 might stimulate new blood vessel and muscle fiber formation vital for rebuilding. It also seems to support wound healing, reduce inflammation. And beyond that, it shows potential in aiding flexibility and the repair of connective tissue generally.
So it works well with BPC-157.
Researchers often study them together, yeah, like a dynamic duo. They look at how the combined effect might synergistically accelerate both the structural repair and the needed vascular support in muscle and tendon recovery models. It's aiming for a really efficient, multi-pronged healing approach in the lab.
That duo sounds powerful for general repair, but what about direct muscle growth? If a study is focused specifically on rebuilding muscle, say after significant damage, is there a go-to peptide for that anabolic aspect?
Absolutely. When the focus sharpens onto muscle regeneration itself, IGF-1-LR3 comes into the picture. That's the insulin-like growth factor 1-LR3 variant.
IGF-1, right, known for growth effects.
Exactly. This peptide is frequently investigated for its direct role there. Research indicates it might stimulate satellite cell activation and proliferation.
The muscle stem cells.
Basically, yes. The dormant stem cells within muscle, crucial for repair and growth. IGF-1-LR3 is also studied for enhancing muscle protein synthesis. This supports hypertrophy, that's muscle growth and repair, after mechanical stress or injury models. So when labs add IGF-1-LR3 to a stack,
it's like adding a turbocharger for the muscle itself.
That's a good analogy. It complements the healing actions of BPC-157 and TB500 by specifically targeting that muscle fiber regeneration. Very valuable in models involving damage, atrophy, or just needing accelerated rebuilding. It adds that critical anabolic layer.
It's really interesting how distinct yet complementary these roles are. Okay, one more. You mentioned CJC-1295. That one sounded a bit different, more indirect, optimizing the whole environment.
Yes, exactly. That's CJC-1295. Researchers often study it with or without something called DAC.
DAC.
Drug affinity complex. It's not another peptide. It's a modification that basically extends the active life of CJC-1295 in the system. Lets researchers observe effects longer with fewer administrations. Now, CJC-1295 itself is a growth hormone-releasing hormone analog, a GHRH analog.
So it doesn't repair tissue directly?
Not directly, like BPC-157 or TB500. Mm. It's studied for its potential to increase the body's natural secretion of growth hormone. And that increase then influences tissue repair and metabolic recovery indirectly in numerous ways.
Ah, okay, so it influences the bigger picture.
Right. Labs exploring these advanced stacks often evaluate if pairing CJC-1295 with other peptides enhances collagen synthesis, promotes broader soft tissue regeneration, maybe improves overall recovery time after induced damage. In these research settings, it's combined carefully to see how its growth hormone-related signaling might contribute to faster structural repair and, well, an optimized internal environment for long-term tissue turnover and healing, setting the stage, really.
So it's crystal clear this isn't random. There's a definite method, a strategy to how researchers build these stacks conceptually. Can you walk us through that framework?
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, these recovery peptide stacks are meticulously designed, like blueprints for biological repair. Every component is chosen for specific mechanisms, dosing schedules planned precisely, sometimes down to the hour, you know, to avoid unwanted interactions and optimize the observed effects in experimental systems. There's a common conceptual framework researchers often seem to follow, thinking in layers of support.
Layers, okay, like what?
Well, you typically start with foundation peptides. Think BPC-157 and TB500. Their job is to kick off that core cellular repair, tackle inflammation, stimulate angiogenesis, basically, get the fundamental healing infrastructure going, and prep the site.
Makes perfect sense. Build the base first.
Precisely. Once that foundation is laid, the next layer might be muscle growth support. That's where something like IGF-1-LR3 comes in. This is specifically to promote muscle fiber regeneration and repair, especially critical in models with significant injury or atrophy or needing substantial rebuilding. This layer directly targets muscle reconstruction.
Got it. Foundation, then muscle focus.
And then finally, you might add a layer of hormonal modulation using a peptide like CJC1295. The aim here is to optimize the broader internal environment for long-term repair, metabolic efficiency, tissue turnover, making sure the body's own regenerative processes are fully supported.
Right.
So you see, it's a truly multi-layered approach, trying to address structural, vascular, and anabolic components of recovery all at once in these experimental systems. It's about coordinating this healing cascade for maximum effect in the lab.
This level of precision, from peptide choice to timing, it really brings me back to the materials themselves. Does it really matter where researchers get these peptides? Purity, consistency, that must be critical, right?
You've hit on an absolutely crucial point. Critical. The validity of any scientific study hinges entirely on the purity, consistency, and accurate labeling of the compounds used. Think about it. If you have, well, garbage in, you're inevitably going to get garbage out in terms of data.
Right. Ruins the whole study.
Completely. Unreliable or contaminated compounds can invalidate everything. Compromise scientific integrity, waste valuable time, resources. This is exactly why sourcing is paramount in this field.
So reliable suppliers are essential.
Absolutely essential. Brands like Pure Raws and BC9, for instance, have built reputations in the research community for very specific reasons. They provide assurances that are fundamental for rigorous science. This includes things like comprehensive third-party testing, verifying purity, identity, making sure what's labeled on the vial is actually in the vial, and free from contaminants.
Okay, verification is key.
And batch consistency. That's vital for reproducible results. You need to know that experiment differences aren't just because one batch of peptide was slightly different from another.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And finally, clear labeling, transparent documentation. That's non-negotiable for compliance, for accurate reporting in scientific papers. So for labs working on these complex stacking strategies, these suppliers provide real confidence that the compounds meet the highest standards. This careful, ethical approach to sourcing underpins the integrity of the research itself.
And given how potent these compounds are, responsible research practices must go hand in hand with good sourcing.
Absolutely. And it really bears repeating again and again.
Yeah.
All the peptides we're discussing are strictly for research purposes only.
Right. Not for human use.
Not approved for human consumption or any therapeutic use. Their safety profiles in humans are, frankly, incompletely understood at this stage. Responsible research demands strict lab controls, proper storage, careful handling, meticulous records, all fully compliant with institutional and local guidelines. Upholding these rigorous standards is fundamental. It ensures labs contribute valuable, reliable knowledge.
So, looking ahead now, regenerative medicine is moving so fast. Where is peptide stacking research heading next? It really does feel like just the beginning.
It really does. What's fascinating here is that we are, relatively speaking, just starting to map this incredibly complex interplay between different peptides and biological systems. Future studies, likely to get even more sophisticated, even more precise.
How so?
Well, beyond just combining peptides, think about precision sequencing. Not just which peptides, but researchers figuring out the optimal timing and order of administration.
Like programming the healing cascade?
Almost. Programming it for maximum efficiency at each distinct stage of recovery. A truly tailored biological intervention, conceptually speaking. Then there's the really exciting area of targeted delivery systems. Imagine ways to direct these peptides specifically to the injury site.
Like microscopic drones or patches.
Something like that. Minimizing systemic exposure, maximizing the local impact. That would be a huge leap, hyper-focused regeneration, potentially boosting efficacy while minimizing side effects.
What?
And we're also seeing early explorations into combining peptides with other cutting-edge approaches, like using stem cells alongside peptide therapies, or maybe even advanced gene editing techniques to amplify peptide-driven repairs, addressing healing from multiple angles at once. Every new study, every carefully designed stack, it brings us closer to understanding how to optimize tissue repair safely, controllably, reproducibly. It's really moving us down the path toward genuine regenerative medicine. The potential is just incredible.
This has been an absolutely incredible deep dive into the cutting edge of muscle and tissue recovery research. It's so clear that peptide stacking is this fascinating frontier, really pushing how we understand healing.
Absolutely. And peptides like BPC-157, TB-500, IGF-1-LR3, CJC-1295, they each bring these unique tools, unique mechanisms to the lab bench. When combined strategically, thoughtfully, in a rigorous research setting, they give labs the power to study these multifaceted recovery pathways. We're moving beyond just, you know, patching up damage towards potentially optimizing how tissues rebuild themselves faster, stronger, maybe more completely.
And highlighting, again, the importance of sourcing from reputable suppliers like Pure Raws and BC9 just can't be overstated if you want reliable, reproducible scientific data. For you, our listener, this deep dive really showcases just how intricate, how precise, and honestly, how promising this whole world of regenerative research is becoming. So as we consider how these precise combinations are unlocking new understandings of our body's incredible healing potential, it really makes you wonder what other profound biological synergies are out there just waiting for curious researchers to discover and, well, orchestrate them.